Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The sermon text for today is the epistle lesson appointed for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. I read to you from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far, the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and we just pray that you shine it deeply into our souls. Shine it deeply that we see our sin, but shine it ever more deeply that we see our salvation there in what it is that you've done for us, resting upon us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, we're hidden in Christ. Have you ever stopped to consider those words? Having been redeemed by the blood of Christ, we're hidden by his cross and protected from Satan's deadly onslaughts right through to eternity. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus, the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, that great book of comfort to all of Christendom, as recorded by the evangelist John, the one whom Jesus loved, the same one who gave us that blessed fourth gospel, these words come before us. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God so that she would be nourished. That's Revelation 12:6. The woman, Israel, was about to give birth to a son whom the red dragon sought to devour, but God prevented it. He took up the child to himself and granted the woman, the church, now blessed in Christ, his holy protection. That's how you're being safeguarded now. You're being safeguarded in Christ. God's hand is right on you. His protection is over you. He's preventing you from being devoured by Satan doubly. First, by assuring you of your salvation in Christ, and then by granting you his wisdom to walk according to his ways. You've read his word. And you can say with all confidence that you've been baptized into his death and made alive in his resurrection. You can sing, I lay my sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. He bears them all and frees us from the accursed load. I bring my guilt to Jesus to wash my crimson stains clean in his blood most precious till not a spot remains. Not a spot. Your accuser can't get any traction on not a spot. You might say that when it comes to harvesting you, Satan's combine is stuck in a mud hole. Of course, that doesn't mean that Satan's incapable of attacking you. Christ's holy church in other ways. Remember what we talked about last week? Last week we talked about Matthew 13, about that wheat and those tares, those weeds the enemy sowed in and amongst the good crop. Satan will always seek out ways to interfere with the good things that God's done, but you're protected from that too. After all, Christ joined you in that wilderness and showed you the beauty of God's protection through the power of God's word. Listen again to what Jesus said and the argument or the discussion between Satan and Jesus, the temptation. Satan, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Jesus, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Satan, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Your Redeemer laid his solid word not just upon Satan, but upon your heart too. He empowered that word by his Holy Spirit, and he's using that word even now to build you up as his beloved children so that you can bear a good crop, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, according to his intended plan to bring all that belongs to himself into his kingdom on the last day. Temptation. The weed Satan sowed will grow up all around you until the day of Christ's return, but by the strength of God's word, you'll stand strong in that field and face everything in Christ. Moreover, Christ will face everything in you. You might remember reading 1 Corinthians 10:13. There it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. God will provide a way of escape. Christ is your way of escape. When it comes to your protection, Christ has already conquered anything that you'll ever encounter. A drinking problem, Christ defeated that, so you don't actually need to take a drink. Addiction to drugs, the shadow of the cross falls right between you and that next hit. As a matter of fact, that shadow lies between you and every one of Satan's temptations. It's that love pouring out over you steadily and freely to offer you release from everything that Satan has put in your path. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the heart's unrest. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. This very same cross that's granted you rest. This very same cross that's cast a shadow over, a shadow of peace over you, is being offered up to not just you, but the world all around you. Jesus predestined you for his salvation. He called you into the certainty of the forgiveness of sins by his shed blood and granted you the certainty of his resurrection, and is, even as I speak, glorifying you by strengthening you in himself that you can walk with him in all things. That'll never go unnoticed. In this world that's so enslaved by sin and so blind to sin's destructive forces, you who are in the word stand out like a sore thumb, or rather I should say a healthy thumb. Would it were that the rest of the gangrenous hand would look like that good healthy thumb. So say those who are waking up to the reality of their sin. In that sense, God doesn't hide you away from evil or prevent you from being seen. Rather, in his loving kindness, God puts you on display so that what he gave into this world as the firstborn of salvation may be blessed to see an ever-increasing number of brothers and sisters included in that great harvest on the last day. Be bold in what it is that God's doing here. Be bold to trust in his salvation. Be bold to step out into this world knowing that you're safeguarded from sin and from that temptation to sin. And be bold to stand both in the shadow of the cross and in the radiance of your Lord to the glory of God. There you will be protected and you will be blessed to be his children and the testimony of his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you've granted us salvation. You've put your protective hand over us. You've hidden us away under the shadow of the cross. And yet, Lord God, you put us on public display that the world might see, that the world might look upon us in awe, and that the world might be saved through what it is that you've accomplished. We ask, Lord God, that you use us as a shining white light that the world will see, and that you bless the world through this church. Bless us, Lord God. Bless us in the name of Jesus, in whose name we say, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen. And amen.